بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين. In the name of Allah, the compassionate, the merciful. This is our 18th session, and inshallah in this session we will continue our discussion about lesson 14, and then we will start lesson 15 of the book Philosophical Instructions. If you remember, we were talking about the reality of conceptual knowledge in its universal form. We said that there is a controversy regarding the reality or the nature of these sorts of concepts, those concepts which are universal. Some people have said that we do not believe in any universal concept. What is there is only a concept which used to be individual, but now, because of the, for example, fact that we have forgotten some of the details, now it can be applied to different individuals. But in reality, it was the title for just one of them. This was one view. There was another view which belonged to nominalists. I am not saying them in order. And nominalists had the idea that universal concepts, again, are not really universal. They are coined, they are invented, created for different meanings independently, for different meanings in parallel. So if you see that they can be applied to different cases, different individuals, it does not mean that in one sense for which the term is coined, they can be applied to different things. No. In each convention, in each wada, in each act of specifying certain meaning for the term, only one individual is considered. But because the same term in another convention is coined for another meaning, so it may come to our mind that it has different meanings at the same time. So if you see that a concept like man is possible to be applied to many, many people, it's not because it's really a term which has common meaning and it includes all these people. No, it's like titles of people, it's like names of people, or for example, if you say this person is Ali, this person is Fatima, or this person is Zaid or Amr. So this name, when was coined by the parents, for example, of this person, was only meant to be a name for this person. If another family have used this name for their children, again, this is separate. So there are many people called, for example, Muhammad in the society. But in each case, the term is coined for one person and not more. So according to nominalism, there is no difference between a concept like man, like book, like flower, like tree, and concepts like names of people, like for example Muhammad, like Hassan, like Zaid, Amr, Bakr, and so on and so forth. And this is very strange, because we realize that really there is a difference. Man can be applied to different people at the same time. The same term can include and cover multitude of people without any need for specifying a certain person. But in the case of the particular names which have been coined several times, you always need something to identify which one is meant. Otherwise, the term has no meaning at all. In the case of concepts like man and tree and flower, if you say, I saw a man, this has its own meaning. Of course, to identify which man, you need something more. But even if you don't mention the characteristics of that man, still this concept has a man and this sentence is meaningful. This was another view about universal concepts. And then we had a third view, which belonged to people like Plato and also belonged to some Muslim philosophers. Maybe Allama Tabatabai has the same meaning in his mind about the universal concepts. And that is to suppose a sort of existence which is abstract, which is supreme, which is ideal for universal concepts. I am not sure whether really Allama Tabatabai meant this, and I think he didn't. But what Plato definitely meant was this, that whenever you have a concept, for example, suppose the concept of horse or cow or any other animal or human being, any concept, in addition to these individual, for example, cows, individual horses, there is an ideal horse in the spiritual world. There is an ideal cow, there is an ideal flower, ideal human being. That is a superhuman being, that is a super horse. And that is abstract, and that is perfect, and it has no limitation, it has no shortcoming in being a horse or being a cow or being a human being. And that is the real meaning of the term horse. And then by the blessing of that supreme or perfect or ideal concept, we can indirectly come to a knowledge about the individual horses or, for example, cows or so on. So this is an idea which is very well known about the Platonism and people who have followed this line. And what we have in Islamic culture, of course, this is just in Barakat, is that we believe that all things in this material world are presented here in a limited way, with size and measure. But the treasures which are infinite, which have no boundaries, no limits, no size, no measure, are in the kingdom of God. The Quran very clearly says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ or وَمَا مِّن شَيْءٍ I just made a doubt. Men or en make no difference in the meaning. وَإِن مِّن شَيْءٍ إِلَّا عِنْدَنَا خَزَائِنُهُ وَمَا نُنَزِّلُهُ إِلَّا بِقَدَرٍ مَعْلُومٍ There is nothing except that its treasures are with us and we do not descend, we do not send it down except in a known, in a specific measure. So if there is knowledge here, if there is wisdom here on the earth, if there is, for example, richness here, if there is mercy in this earth, whatsoever you imagine, the treasures of those things are in kingdom of God. The perfect, the infinite, the endless mercifulness, knowledge, wisdom, power, life, all are there. But this is totally different from the Platonic idea. In some aspects, maybe they look the same, maybe similar even, but it's different. It's different from saying that we have a perfect horse, for example, in heaven or in the abstract world or in kingdom of God. It's totally different. There is no enough time here to talk about this matter because it's not related to our discussion here. But just I wanted to say, if people like Allama Tabatabai have endorsed this idea of having treasures or sources or origins of material things in heaven, maybe they do not mean necessarily that universal concepts are ideal forms of the individuals that exist in this world. But of course the author knows better, and he says that this seems to be the idea of Allama Tabatabai. And then the fourth view, which is accepted by the author here, is that universal concepts are really there. There is a real difference between individual concepts or particular concepts and universal concepts. And the universal concepts are universal because they are created, or they are abstracted, or they are taken by our minds from different individuals or from other ways. Inshallah, we will talk later about this matter, how we come to a knowledge about ideas. In any case, these universal concepts are brought to our mind in a way that they are really applicable. They are really predictable of and applicable to individuals. And this is because our mind has such a power, such a capacity for working on individual things and then taking something out of them which can be common, which can be applied to all of them. Inshallah, as I said, in future we will talk much more about this matter. There is a challenge, there is a question by nominalists regarding universal concepts. And this is important for us, and the same problem and confusion has happened in many other places in philosophy. And that is a confusion which happens regarding discerning between qualities of existence and qualities of concept. Now let me go into the problem itself. Nominalists have said that we do not believe in universal concepts because whoever imagines a concept, this concept becomes individual, because this is a reality which has occurred to this person at this moment. This is different from the same concept in the mind of another person. If the concept of man is in my mind, this is something particular. It's different from the concept of man in another mind. It is even different from the concept of man in my mind few seconds later or few seconds earlier. So each concept is a being, and this being is necessarily particular, because we cannot have a being applied to different things. Each being is individual, particular. So we don't have such a thing as universal concepts in reality. This is the idea of nominalists. But this is not true. And they have made mistake in distinguishing between two aspects of our mental images. Each mental image, each concept, is individual and particular if it is considered by itself. If you look at it in itself. If you look at it in the way that you look at a mirror when you want to buy a mirror. When you want to buy a mirror, you consider the quality of the glass, you consider the shape, you consider the make, you consider the price. But if you look at an image because it's reflecting something, then no longer your attention is towards the concept itself. Your attention is directed towards what is shown, what is presented, what is echoed, what is reflected by that image. And in that sense, it's not particular. So if we have a concept of man, a concept of flower, tree, book, or etc., all these concepts by themselves are mental beings, and they are particular, they are individual. But these concepts are not concepts unless they are taken into account because of the things that they represent, the things that they show. Okay. In that sense, in that case, these concepts become identical. The concept of man is the same in my mind or in your mind. In my mind at the moment or later. Maybe I know more about man in future. But again, this is the same concept. I know about the same thing more. Otherwise, I cannot say I know more. If I know something and then I know in future something else, so how can I say that I know more about this thing? It is true also when you compare knowledge of different people about the same concept. If the concept is not identical, so how can you say that this person knows more than the same person, the other person? So this question is also not very serious, but still it's important because, as I said, unfortunately, in many cases we have the same problem, and that is not to distinguish between the qualities of mental images which are related to them as beings by themselves, and the qualities which belong to them because of the things that they show. Anyway, now let's start lesson 15, and that is about different types of intelligibles. If you look at the screen, please. Here we have different terms today, and inshallah we should learn all of them. So one term is intelligible, and its plural form, of course, is intelligibles. This is called in Arabic Al-Ma'qul, and in its plural form Al-Ma'qulat. And this is the transliteration. Al-Ma'qulat. It's very important for us. And you should be careful not to get confused with another term, and that is Al-Ma'qul. And the plural form Al-Ma'qulat. That is different, and that is another important term, but different. Al-Ma'qulat. Al-Ma'qulat means categories. Categories. And Muslim logicians call it kategorias. This is a Greek term, kategorias, and in English they call it categories. And that is Al-Ma'qul. Al-Ma'qul. As you see, there is no ayn here. But this is Al-Ma'qul. And today we are talking about this. Inshallah, later we will talk about Ma'qulat or categories. Okay. What are these intelligibles? First of all, it comes from the term intelligence and intellect, intellection. All are the same, from the same root. And they mean aql, and ta'aql means reason and reasoning. So these are all derivatives of the same root. So al-ma'qul is intelligible, means what is known by intellect, what is known by reason. Al-ma'qul. Okay. We have three forms of, or three types of, three sorts of intelligibles. And this is one of the contributions of Muslim philosophers to philosophy. They have classified these three types of intelligibles and listed characteristics of each. And it's very important to know these three types. Especially, it's very important to be able to distinguish between secondary philosophical intelligibles and primary intelligibles. Otherwise, many questions in philosophy will remain unsolved, and many questions will remain unanswered. Okay? So please pay attention to this discussion about different types of intelligibles. Okay, if you look at the screen again, so we have three types of intelligibles. The first type is what we call it primary or first, make no difference, primary intelligibles. Or first. In the book it's mentioned first, but primary is good also. Intelligibles. And in Arabic we call it Al-Ma'qulat Al-Ula. Al-Ma'qulat Al-Ula. Okay? This is the first form. And we mean by primary intelligibles a sort of concept which is applicable to different things but it is not taken with lots of intellection, lots of efforts made by our reason. This is something that quickly we pick up. As soon as we are faced with different individuals, our mind takes a picture which can be common. So our mind is looking for some similarities. So it takes a picture of them so that it can be applied to all of them. For example, you see in the street different things that look the same. So you, for example, take the concept of car. Or for example, we see different people, then we take the concept of man. We see different flowers, we take the concept of flower. So these concepts are taken very easily, very quickly, after noticing several individuals that share the same quality. This is primary intelligibles. Then we have secondary intelligibles, and these are in Arabic called al-ma'qulat al-thaniya. Al-ma'qulat is written the same, and al-thaniya in this way. Al-ma'qulat al-thaniya. Thaniya means second. So al-thaniya means secondary. Al-ma'qulat al-thaniya means something which is not primary. So you don't need to say second is in contrast to 1 and 3 and 4. No, second is only in contrast to 1. So secondary may be also something which is derived after 2 intellections, maybe after 3 intellections, maybe after 4 intellections, for example. So secondary just means it's not primary. Okay? This is something that we have it in other cases as well. Sometimes we say secondary and we just mean that this is not the primary situation. Okay. Secondary concepts themselves are divided into 2. Please again look at the screen. Secondary intelligibles themselves are divided into 2. We have philosophical concepts which are secondary, and we have logical concepts which are secondary. So you may call them secondary philosophical intelligibles, which means al-ma'qulat al-thaniya al-falsafiyya, or logical, which means al-mantaqiyya. And if you want transliteration, so al-falsafiyya is translated in this way. And al-man, this is Q. Al-mantaqiyya. Okay, this is Q. So, what is the difference between secondary philosophical intelligibles and secondary logical intelligibles? In philosophical intelligibles, we have a concept which is taken by our mind after intellection, after effort, but this can be applied to the things that exist in reality outside, in external reality, in external world. For example, concept of possibility, concept of necessity, concept of contingency, the concept of existence itself, and in general most of the concepts that we use in philosophy are secondary philosophical intelligibles. They can be applied to the things that exist outside, but they are not like primary intelligibles, because primary intelligibles are related to the natures, to the quiddities, to al-mahiyya of the realities outside. They talk about the nature of the things that exist outside. When you say man, when you say flower, when you say, for example, animal, these refer to the nature of the things that exist outside. But when you say, for example, that this being is contingent, or when you say God the Almighty is necessary, this contingency or necessity is not related to the nature, is a quality of that being. So instead of being a reflection of the limits of the being, which is al-mahiyya, it's a reflection of the way that that thing exists. And inshallah, when we talk later about existence and about quiddity, about al-wujud and al-mahiyya, you will understand this very easily. So my advice is that after you finish the whole book, Philosophical Instructions, then you go back and start to read it again carefully. This is the way that we always have to do. We must first get some idea, general idea. We must have some idea about all the concepts, all the problems that are interrelated. And then, after getting some general picture, we go back and reflect on them and we go into a more profound level. So a book like Philosophical Instructions or any other philosophical book is not a book just to read it once. You need to read it and study it several times. Okay, so I appreciate that you work hard and you study and you discuss it with your friends, inshallah. But at the same time, I say it's not enough. And please, after the book is finished, go back and review it. Anyway, secondary philosophical intelligibles are different from primary intelligibles because they are not related to the nature of the things outside. But they are the same with them in the sense that they both can be applied to the things that exist outside. They can be predictable of the things that are outside. But logical concepts, logical intelligibles, or if you want to be more precise, secondary logical intelligibles can be applied only to the things that are mental, to the concepts, not even to the concept in the sense that they are beings themselves. No, to the concepts in so far as they reflect something. So to the mental things. For example, just this concept of universality that we had today. Can you say there is anything outside which is really universal? No. Everything outside, everything, every being is individual. To be universal is a quality which can be considered only for the concepts. And where is the place for concepts? The place for each concept is our mind. We don't have anything like a universal concept outside. Can you refer to any universal thing outside? Can you say this book is universal? No. This book is a particular being. So, those qualities which are qualities of concepts, which are discussed in logic, and indeed most of the concepts that we use in logic, these are secondary logical intelligibles, and they can only pertain to mental beings. Okay, so as you see, there is something shared by both philosophical and logical intelligibles, and that is they are both secondary. They are both taken after intellection, after working on primary concepts. But there is a difference, and that is they are different in their possibility to be applied to the external things or to mental things. So we have three different types of intelligibles. They may be similar in some aspect, and they may be different in another aspect. So this is a very important thing, and as I said, this is something that Muslim philosophers have developed, and in this way they have had a good contribution, a great contribution to philosophy. Of course, they had other contributions, but this in itself is very important. And if you want to understand whether this was really a contribution of Muslim philosophers, please go and try. If you talk to many students, many scholars of philosophy in the West, you see that it's really, really hard to let them understand philosophical intelligibles. What is the difference between secondary philosophical intelligibles and primary intelligibles? I don't say that they are not aware of it necessarily, but many of them, they don't know it. Of course, in Islamic philosophy, this is well known, and then it was also reflected in medieval ages in some of the Western scholarship, but in general, it is still unknown to many, many people, many, many philosophers. Anyway, after this discussion about these three types of intelligibles, and hoping that inshallah in future you will yourself be able to go into more details, I think it's not good for me now to go into further details because it may confuse you. But after this amount of understanding about these three types of intelligibles, now we need to address another issue, and that is about a forms, a type of concepts which is not like ordinary concepts. These are concepts which are different. It's not easy to identify the individuals of these concepts, the instances of these concepts. You feel the difference. Before I mention the name of these concepts, I would like to give you some example. For example, if I say justice is good, honesty is good, so this justice is a concept. But where is justice? Is this justice something which has three dimensions, which is a physical matter? No. Can I refer to justice in the same way that I refer to, for example, my book, to my clothes, to people around me? No. The case is worse when I say is good or bad. What is good? Is anything outside I can say it's good? No. But can I say that justice does not refer to anything? I say it's meaningless? No. So what's the meaning? This is the question. You feel that it has a meaning, but at the same time you feel that it's not like ordinary concepts. These concepts, which are called al-i'tibari, if you look at the screen, it's important to learn this term in Arabic. Please look at the screen. So, al-i'tibari has different meanings. This is translated in the book as respectable. Some people translate it as conventional. There may be different translations. What is important, and my advice is that you learn the same term, al-i'tibari, because this term is very important and it's used in different senses, and it's better to keep the same term, because if you use one English translation, then you may have difficult time in using that for another sense. So it's better to keep the same term, original term, in your mind. Al-i'tibari. Now you have the Arabic and the transliteration form of that. So this al-i'tibari, or respectable concept, is something that, inshallah, we will talk about it in the next future in more details. And it's very important for us because it helps us to analyze the concepts which are used in law and in morality, and also some other disciplines, but particularly in law and morality or ethics. So we should know how we can analyze concepts like justice, like, for example, oppression, like honesty, like jealousy, and also predicates like good, bad, right, wrong, ought, ought not, should, obligation, and so on and so forth. Inshallah, in the next session, we will follow this question. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ